The breaking of bread. And so our subject today is the importance of worship. The importance of worship. That it should be a priority for all of us, as when we come together, we are here to worship God. And this ought to be something that is very special in our lives. We see that the angels of God worship Him in Hebrews chapter 1. And verse 6, that on the day of judgment, all people will bow down the knee and worship God on the day of judgment. Also, we do find that throughout eternity, we're all going to be worshiping God throughout eternity, singing a new song, singing songs of praise to God, worshiping Him around the throne. That's what we're going to be doing there. But we want to emphasize in our lesson today how important worship is. Worship has been described as the missing jewel, that it is something that often is missing in modern churches today, true worship, that people have lost touch with the importance of worshiping God, and this is a precious jewel that we cannot afford to lose in our lives. John MacArthur has a book that he refers to worship as the ultimate priority. And it certainly truly is and should be the ultimate priority. Some Christians today, I believe, think that worship is optional, that it is something that you can worship if you want to, if you feel like worshiping God, that what really is important is that we are serving God in our lives. And serving God is important, certainly, but which one is more important, worshiping God or serving God? And I believe, and am striving to point out in the lesson today, the worship should be first. Worship needs to come first. And then we serve God because, first of all, we worship Him, and we worship Him alone. So as we look to God's Word this morning, I want to point out a number of reasons why worship is so important in our lives. And the first reason is that it is the priority commandment of God. Whenever we look to God's Word, God's first commandment is about worshiping Him. That is where in the Old Testament, in the Ten Commandments, in Exodus chapter 20, for example, at the beginning of the law of Moses, God instructed the people on the importance of worshiping Him before anything else was talked about. He said in Exodus chapter 20, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me." So he placed that at the very top of the priority of the law, is how important it is for you to worship me and to worship me alone. We see that Jesus in the New Testament was asked the question, "What is the great commandment in the law?" And Jesus, without hesitation, answered that question by saying that the first and great commandment is, "Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And so that is the first and greatest commandment always in God's order of priority, is worshiping Him, loving Him with all of our hearts as our Lord and God. There is nothing difficult about worshiping God. It is, as I say, ascribing honor to Him, ascribing glory to God. Because everyone worships something. We are made to worship. We are by nature a worshipful people. We're designed that way. And whenever you watch the Seahawks game this afternoon, those of you who will be doing that, you're going to be seeing there people who are sports fans who are totally into worshiping and following the Seahawks and pushing them on to victory. And we'll probably many of us be cheering on the Seahawks. But that is a type of worship and devotion that's being expressed there, is what I'm saying. If you go to a concert and you see teenagers there who are listening to the stars on the stage, that is a form of devotion and honor being ascribed to them. And so there is various types of worship. We can worship food, we can worship sports, we can worship the arts, we can worship music, we can worship comfort, we can worship power, achievement, work, money, relationships. But God calls for us to worship Him and to give Him the honor and glory. And if we do not do that, what you need to understand is that you will be worshiping something else. If you are not worshiping God, you will be worshiping something else. And worship is the highest commandment of God. It is the highest priority in all of God's arrangements, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. I'd like to then give a second reason why worship is so important, and that is that it was the pattern of observance in the Old Testament. Whenever the Israelites were coming out of Egypt and God came to them, the first thing that He did was to instruct them how to build a place of worship for them. He instructed them in very detailed instructions how to build the tabernacle, the place of worship for the Israelites. And it was to be placed at the very center of the camp of Israel. We find, in fact, 7 chapters in the book of Leviticus that are devoted to the instruction on building the tabernacle. And there are 240 some verses, I believe, in those 7 chapters. When we compare that to when God is describing creation, for example, in the book of Genesis, 31 verses. God tells us in 31 verses how He created the heavens and the earth in 7 days. And not to give any lack of importance to that, but God gives us 7 chapters here in the law devoted to the detail of how He is to be worshipped. And whenever the camp of Israel, the instructions were given of where the tribes were assigned a place, they were all to be positioned around the tabernacle. But the priests and the Levites were right beside the tabernacle. What is that telling us? It's telling us the importance of worship, that God wanted to ingrain that in His people. That what's most important is that you be a worshipful people, worshiping Me as your God, for I am the one who brought you out of the land of Egypt. The third reason that worship is so important is because when we come to the New Testament, we find that it was the voluntary response of the people who first came to understand who Jesus was. As people began to follow Jesus and as they began to see His miracles and the greatness of who He was, many people began to understand He is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. And when that happened, what did they do? They fell down and worshiped Him. For example, the wise men. We almost hardly begin the New Testament when we find that wise men came from the East. And when they had found the baby Jesus, they fell down and worshiped Him. And they brought gifts unto Him to show their honor for Him. In Matthew 8 and verse 2, there was a leper that came to Jesus. And he said, "Lord, if You will, You can make me clean." And Jesus reached out and touched him. And it says He worshiped Him. We also then continue to read throughout the book of Matthew of others worshiping Jesus. In Matthew 9 and verse 18, there was a ruler who came. And a ruler worshiped Him. In Matthew chapter 14, the disciples were in the boat crossing the Sea of Galilee during a storm. And Jesus came walking on the water to them. And it said that they worshiped Him following that, when the waves were calm. They worshiped Jesus. Matthew 15 and verse 25, a Canaanite woman came to Jesus, worshiped Him. And when the disciples, after the resurrection of Jesus had taken place, in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 17, we read that they went up into a mountain together. And there they worshiped Him. There's a consistent pattern that is being shown. That wherever Jesus was, wherever people recognized Him for who He is, they were worshiping Him. A fourth reason that worship is so vital and so important in our lives and can be neglected by us is that worship is our primary responsibility to God. What is it that God would first of all want us to be doing today? The first responsibility, the primary responsibility, is God desires for us to be worshiping Him. That's a tall statement to make. I realize that. And some might question that, and some might challenge that statement. Wait a minute, how do you know that that's true? Well, let me give several scriptures to make that argument, to make that case. In Psalm 27 and verse 4, we read David talking about the fact that he was out in the wilderness country at times, that he was not able to go into the place of the temple or the tabernacle in Jerusalem at that time. But he said, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." David, of all things that he wanted to do in his life, that was the one thing that meant most to him, was to be able to be there where he could worship God. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul, in talking about his life, how he had been a Pharisee of the Jews and he had given up those things to follow Jesus Christ in his life, he said, "That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death." Talking about the fact that he saw the greatness of Jesus and that he just wanted to spend his life in devotion to Him, in worship and praise and service to God through Jesus Christ, that was the thing that was most important in his life. And it should be in our lives as well. But when we talk about worship and the importance of it and the devotion that we have to Jesus, there's no better passage, I believe, than in Luke chapter 10 and verses 38 through 42, where we read about the example of Mary and Martha. Mary and Martha were two sisters that lived together in the same house, and they invited Jesus to come to their house. Now, their personalities were different, as we find, because Martha was a type A, choleric type personality. She wanted to be about serving in her house, keeping her house, preparing the meals, things of that nature. Mary, on the other hand, was a very quiet person. She was more of a melancholy temperament of her personality, and when Jesus came, she just wanted to sit at the feet of Jesus. And Martha became upset about this. She became worried about that. And she came in at one point there, and she actually said to Jesus, she said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha," I love the way Jesus said that. You know, he said, "Martha, come on now. You are worried and troubled about many things." You know, Martha was running around like a chicken with its head cut off. And sometimes we do that. And we decide things we are so worried about. We got to get all of these different things done. We miss out on the most important thing. He said, Mary has chosen the good part. One thing is needed. Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. All Mary wanted to do was to sit there at the feet of Jesus and listen to Him and learn from Him and be devoted to Him. And that was the thing that is most important. I believe this is pointing out to us that worship is more important than service. that we first of all need to get our priorities straight as children of God, as Christians, that we need to first of all see the importance of worshiping Him and learning how to worship God and giving that our devotion. Worship, number five, is the place where God is most at home. Think about it this way. How many times have you been on a trip and you have had to spend the night on the road, maybe in a hotel? And we spend a night there and then we go on in the rest of our trip. But when we come back home, what do we say? It's so good to be back home. Sleep in our own bed. You know, there's no place like home. We all love that. God is most at home when He is being worshipped. There's a statement here in Psalms that really impresses me in Psalms 22 and verse 1 through 3. And this is a passage which is a prophecy of Jesus talking about, My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And it can be applied when He was hanging on the cross. And He uttered those same words. But He goes on to say there, "Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear. And in the night season, and am not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel." That's the phrase that really draws my attention. God is holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. That's where God dwells when He is being praised. He loves that. He is at home. He's comfortable. That's where He feels best, when God is being put on the throne by His people in their worship, ascribing to Him just how great He is, knowing that they love Him and are wanting to be His people. The sixth reason that worship is so important in our lives is because it is a prerequisite for service. In order to be able to serve God most effectively, we need to be a people who, first of all, worship Him. And we cannot effectively serve God unless we are first clear about who our worship, that we worship God, we praise Him, and then we go out to serve Him. It grows out of that worship that we have given to Him. Notice in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was taken out into the wilderness by Satan. And as He was there in the wilderness, Satan tried to entice Him to fall down and worship Satan. Devil took Him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed Him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. He said to Him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship Me." Jesus answered and said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and Him only you shall serve.'" Notice the order. First you worship God, then you serve Him. And Jesus understood the fact that if He was going to serve God, He had to worship God and God alone. He could not fall down and worship Satan and then go out and serve God. You have to worship God first, and then you are able to serve Him. So it is a prerequisite for our serving God. It's not an optional thing. It is something that prepares us and helps us to be the type of people who are able to render glory in the service that we give unto God. But number seven, worship is important because it is a cure for our discouragement. God understands the fact that we sometimes become discouraged. Worship is something that God uses in our lives as His people to help us in our discouragement. Many of us don't understand that worship is one way that God helps us to overcome discouragement in our lives. Look at this verse in Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 4. Again, it's a prophecy of Jesus that Jesus read in the synagogue of Nazareth, Luke chapter 4, applied it to himself. But notice the words of this. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." He says here that Jesus is going to give his people the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Some translations say the spirit of despair. Sometimes, as serving God, we become discouraged. And Jesus offers us an exchange. He said, "I will trade you for your discouragement. You give me a garment of praise." Is that a good deal? Would you accept that deal this morning? Is that something that you'd be interested in? To get rid of your discouragement, and instead he gives you something, a garment of praise that you can wear. That's a good deal, I think. That's the reason why I think the Apostle Paul and Silas, they were in the prison in Philippi in Acts chapter 16. And you read about that occasion there when they had been beaten. Their backs were cut open and bleeding that night. They were sitting in the Roman cell. Their hands and their feet were in the stocks. But it said at midnight they began to praise God, singing praises in the prison cell to God. Sure, they were down. They were discouraged. Had to be hurting. And yet they began singing and praising God at midnight. The earthquake came, the doors of the prison cell were open. Philippian jailer came in and bowed down and said, "What must I do to be saved?" Turned out to be a wonderful, wonderful occasion of his conversion and his household. In the middle of the night, but they were praising God. So many times we get down and God will give you a garment of praise in exchange for your spirit of heaviness. It's a cure for discouragement. And last of all, worship is the passion of God himself. It is what he desires. He's made that very clear to us, I believe. In John chapter 4 and verse 20, the woman at the well, Samaria, speaking to Jesus, she said, "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain here in Samaria." I think it was Mount Gerizim was the name of it. "And you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where you ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know." Think about that for a moment. Worship what you do not know. How many people like that? But he said, "We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth." God in heaven is looking for people today. He is searching through all the people of the earth, looking for people who worship him in spirit and in truth. He wants to find those kind of people who love nothing better than to worship God with their entire spirits and their whole hearts. And do you know that you can be the answer to God's search this morning? You can. You can be one of those people that God is desiring, seeking those kinds of people to be worshiping him. You and I we can fulfill the passion of God to those, to find people who are eager to worship Him. So the purpose of our worship as we come together is to glorify, honor, exalt, praise, and please God. What greater thing is there? The Christian's worship is the greatest importance. It is a time when we pay deep, sincere, awesome respect, love, and fear to the one who created us. Our worship not only honors and magnifies God, but is also for our own edification and strength to prepare us for service. Worship helps us develop a God-like, Christ-like character because we become like those that we admire. Whether it be sports or whether it be entertainers or whether it be God, we become like the one we worship. Think about that. The importance of our worship molds us into the likeness of God so that we are qualified and prepared to go out and serve Him most effectively. If you're here today and you're not a child of God, why not become one today? Submit your life to Him. Come forward with humble repentance and confessing of your faith and willing to bow down and submit your life to Him in baptism. Be buried with Him in baptism, that you may be raised to walk in newness of life, with all of your sins forgiven. If you're here and subject to that invitation, then we invite you to come as we stand and sing together.